Father God, you have heard the cries of our heart. You've heard us sing the words of praise, acknowledging you as God, the Creator. Our Lord, we've called to you. I pray, Father, that as we open up your word, that the truth of who you are, Father, resonates with us, that we might see you, we might understand you. I pray, Father, that you hold back the stuff that keeps us from hearing you, that keeps us from responding to you. Jesus, you've been with me as I walk this morning, praying through empty pews, praying for the people who are sitting here. And I pray, God, that you meet us right where we are. I thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We discovered a few weeks ago, we talked about that we are born of the Spirit when we accept and believe Christ in faith. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Last week, Bob talked about being filled with the Spirit and performing the work of truth. And this week, we're going to talk about walking with the Spirit. And this is a topic of much interest. There's been a lot of discussion, and thankfully, many of you have kind of shared things with me this week that have helped me in thinking about this. I've heard from people more than ever. Folks have said, hey, you know, we watch the services on TV. Maybe some of you all, there are people who are listening by radio. We're even podcasting now, if you can believe it. People all over the world can log on the internet and get our worship services and hear that. I even learned this week that we have a group of students at the University, I think this USI, Southern Indiana, who are interested in this topic and are using this series as their Bible study on the campus down in Evansville. And so we're going to try the best we can to let the Word of God guide us to our understanding of what it means to walk with the Spirit and let the Spirit resonate in us through the mind of God. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. If you want to grab a Bible directly in front of you, it's on page 807. Hopefully you have a handout sheet. This is our primary passage that we're going to use today, and so we've printed that for you. So you can look on it and mark it up if you want to. Now, while you're turning to that page, let me give you a little bit of background about this letter Paul's writing to the Corinthians. Paul's writing to them to address problems in their fellowship and in their practicing of faith. And as he opens the letter, he reminds them that when he was with them, he didn't teach them with eloquence and superior wisdom. He said that he was resolved to know nothing while he was with them except Christ and Christ crucified. He said, listen, I didn't come to you with this flashy speech. I wasn't real polished. I didn't have superior wisdom and knowledge. I resolved to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. And because of that, he reminds them that he came in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. Let's pick his letter up in verse 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now stop there just a second. The word demonstration that's being used there is words that are empowered by the Spirit. We talked about this a little bit last week, that we're not just talking about reading the words and hearing them, but it's the active nature of the words to be empowered in God's power. They contain the God's power to affect our lives. In verse 5, why? So that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now the word love is an active word that's being used there. It means actively engaged in an ongoing loving relationship with him. It's a loving relationship that continues. Picking up verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We want to know about walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit involves having the mind of Christ. And I want to know, are there any of you who need to know something that you don't? Do you? Do any of you need to make a decision that you don't yet have the answer? Are there any of you that need to be smarter about something than you are right now? Yeah. Listen, we're talking about real life stuff here. Are any of you all facing the possibility of a job change or relocation? Do you have a boss or a coworker or classmate that you're having problems with? Is there any chance that you're a boss that nobody wants to work for? I mean, folks are nice to your face, but you just know that they're going to cut your legs out from under you whenever they have a chance, right? Are any of you in circumstances that you don't know what to do? You see, what happens when we're facing a dilemma, we sometimes pore over the pages. Sometimes we don't even do that. We just try to figure it out. But sometimes we even pore over the pages of the Word of God and we're still perplexed. I mean, we're searching for the answer. And unfortunately, sometimes what we're searching for is we're searching for the answer we want. We say, man, I'm praying to God for so-and-so to happen in my life and it's not happening. No, don't pray for so-and-so to happen. Pray that you may know and have the mind of God. You see, we want life to be black and white or simple. We want it to be neat and orderly. We want life to be in a series of rules and answers, 1 through 500. We want it to be like tax, well, maybe not like the tax code, but you see what I'm saying. We want it to be orderly. We say, should I go to the party? Well, that's rule number 394, conditions for attending parties. Here it is. Should I make this business decision? Let's see, section A, 3. What about relationships? It's section 5. What about revenge? It's section 2. What to do about overbearing parents? Obey that you will live long. Yeah. You can thank me later, Josh. All right. Listen, we want to often approach the truth of God and the work of the Spirit as though it were rules to be followed. I had a manager come to me one time and said, Ken, you know, can I talk to you? Yeah, sure. Come on in. I sat down and closed my office and said, you know, you're kind of a religious guy. And I said, you know, this may seem funny to you, but I try not to be religious. I try not to be a religious person. I'm striving to be faithful and obedient, but not necessarily religious. And he scratched his head and said, yeah, okay. But I got this problem. See, I have this friend, right? And he was a girl. And what it really boiled down, as he tried to tell me, is that she wouldn't do what it was he wanted her to do. All right? Anyone ever been there? She wouldn't do what it was he wanted her to do. So he wanted me to help him find some biblical loophole through this woman's religious dilemma so that she would go along and obey his plan. All right? Now listen, God has a purpose for you, and through his sovereignty, in prioritizing relationship with him over all else, we are not always able to find the easy answers, or we just grab them and go. I mean, it'd be like going through the grocery mart. I'll take that one, and we just grab them and go. And we forget about the relationship with God. So God says we are to have the mind of Christ, which brings us to our focus this week of learning how to walk in the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit. What I'm hoping is that we're going to learn how to move or respond at the impulse of the Spirit. How to know when to move. How to know when to stay. How to trust what we are sensing. I am not talking about trusting what we are feeling. It's what we are sensing. Your feelings will deceive you. You may be feeling bad about something. You know what? You may have had bad pizza or sloppy joes last night. Some people say, I got this tingly feeling. I get a tingly feeling watching a Walt Disney movie. Right? I was listening to an interview by the president of Iran. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, something like that, right? Now listen, he says, I was speaking, and the presence of Allah was like a light all around me, and I felt the presence of Allah. I was listening to an interview by Ozzy Osbourne. Not like I'm like a big fan of Ozzy Osbourne or anything, but Ozzy said this. Ozzy is a rock and roll musician, by the way, a grunge, anyway. Ozzy said this. He said, when I'm playing music, he said, I get to this place where there's something that kind of takes control. I don't even know what it is. It's as though I'm not even playing. I hope that it's good. Listen, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will deceive you. We're going to look later at the why that is in Galatians. Paul talks about, but the natural person in you will deceive you. And so how do we begin trusting what we are sensing in the Spirit that is in us? Here is one central truth that you've got to grab. You've got to grab this one. The Holy Spirit will never work differently than the Word states. Never will the leadership of the Spirit of God work counter to the revealed truth of God. We can never say that the Holy Spirit has led us to do anything that is contrary to what is written in the Word of God. If you think that the Lord is providing or opening doors, that stepping through them requires you to compromise, to lie, or to be deceitful, then it is against the Word of truth. The Spirit and the Word will always be in agreement. They will always agree. Therefore, we have to know the Word so that we can know to move out of the impulses of the Spirit when the things of this life, the things around us, are not just black and white. We want to understand how to discern the prompting of the Spirit and to be obedient so that when God's hand moves right, we move right. And when God's hand moves left, we move left. And when God's hand says, whoa, we whoa. What happens when we have the mind of Christ? We're going to look at just a couple things. What does the Spirit do? There are many things we can look at. We're going to look at just a few of them. Let's jump back over to verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. One of the most wonderful aspects, one of the most wonderful things about the Spirit is that the Spirit searches. Now, I've listed these passages for you. You can go back and reference those later if you choose to, but I want to just let you hear the Word of God talk about them, this aspect, this nature of the Spirit. In 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 through 10, it says, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Psalms 7, 9, O righteous God who searches minds and hearts. Proverbs 20, 27, Solomon said, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. Romans 8, 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Revelations 2:23. Then all the churches will know that I am He who searches the hearts and minds. One of the most important aspects of the Spirit is that He searches. He continually searches. You are here and you have been searched out by God and brought here. God pursues you so that you will find Him. He searches you out. In John chapter 4, verses 24, it says, God is Spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. When He created you in His image, He created each one of us with a spirit in us. And this is what God has placed in us, giving us the capacity to know God. It is what distinguishes us from the animals. The animals show affection. We were at a campfire last night, a bonfire, a hayride that went crazy. But we were at a hayride, and there's a Labrador Retriever there. Labrador Retrievers love everybody, don't they? You ever seen one? They love everything. They want to share the love, everything they've been eating and everything they've been doing. They want to share it with you. Animals, they show affection. They show affection. But we are unique that we have the Spirit placed in us as the image of God that is constantly on the search. It's constantly searching. Now, I wonder today, how many of you have something going on in your life? You've had something happen or something that's around you that you were just searching for something that you just cannot seem to find. We may even get to a place in our life where we have what we need. We may have the things we want. But there's something in us that keeps searching for something that we can't find. That is the Spirit that keeps us searching for God. It's on a constant mode to search out. And it's because God has made you in His image. It was meant to give us something that will not stop seeking until it finds its source in God. Now, Bob showed us last week in Scripture that when we receive Christ, we are united with the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit." His spirit becomes one with us, with the Spirit of God. It dwells in us. It is united with us and becomes and moves us as the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what is it searching for? The Spirit is searching for the things of God. It's searching. It's continually craving. It's like the longing of the Spirit. It's like being drawn, a magnet being drawn. It's like you ever seen a moth? What's a moth drawn to? You turn a light switch, you go walk out in the dark, no moths. You turn a light switch on, what happens? Whoa, they're right there. They're drawn to the light. Now what we want are the deep things of God. The deep in you, listen. The deep in you is calling to the deep outside of you, and it will not be satisfied until it gets it. People believe it's all kinds of things. It's a relationship. I'm being drawn to a relationship. You think that's it until you get it. It's a car. It's a shotgun. It's a guitar. It's an iPod. It's your career. You get it, and it may satisfy for a while, but then it's gone. How can we let the Spirit of God within us give way to the Spirit of God that's outside of us and drawing us to Him? What else does the Spirit do? The Spirit's revelation makes the inconceivable conceivable. The Spirit's revelation makes the inconceivable conceivable. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we learn that God has planned for your life more than anything you could understand. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. No mind has conceived, no mind has ever thought up or risen up. We are totally unable, as smart as we can ever be, as much information as we can ever harness, we can never think high enough to think about God. We have to learn how to sense in the very detailed decisions that we make what the leadership of the Spirit is telling us to do. Otherwise, the inconceivable will never become conceivable. If you look back at or over at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17, it's on page 827 in the Brown Bible. Paul writes, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." Ask God for spiritual wisdom. Ask God to know how to make decisions that we need to make. You ever been in a place where you say, "Man, I don't know what I'm doing here." You ever been in a place where you say, "I'm over my head." All right, you ever been there? You're in a situation, your circumstance, and you say, "Man, I am over my head." You been there? I was one time. I was given a task to do in a production environment. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, well, the best thing to do is just to pull everybody together and just figure out what we're going to do together. Right? So I decided I'm going to shut the production down for an hour, 230 people. And they said, are you crazy? I said, we got to do it. I don't know how else to do it. And so it was a good idea. You know, it's one of those things where it was a good idea until it started happening. You know what I mean? Right? And so I said, I'm going to do this. And then everyone starts walking in, and they're all walking in, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I am in over my head. I am in deep. This is a problem. And I didn't know what to do, and I panicked. Inside of me, I'm thinking, oh, man. So there was a back door that went out of the cat, and I slipped out the back door, and I prayed, and I said, God, I'm in over my head. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I stepped back in. And by His grace, He gave me the plan on what to do. And we were able to do what needed to be done in a peaceful way. I was talking to some folks that were in a hospital. I was talking to a young girl who said, you know, we went to, there were 9 friends of us. We took a church van and we went to someplace in like Arkansas. And we were going to a Christian concert. And she said, we decided, you know, since we were in a church bus and it was Sunday morning, or church van, we were Sunday morning, we probably ought to go to church somewhere. And so they're driving along, and they said, one of the people said, you know, I really want to go to a Black Southern Baptist church. And they all kind of looked at each other, and they, what, are you crazy? And so they were driving around in Arkansas just trying to find like a Black Southern Baptist church. And they found this rundown old building. And they one of them, the two of them actually went in first, you know, to kind of see if it was all safe. And then the rest of them kind of followed in behind them. And the girl said, you know, how could it be right? It's this church, you know. I mean, what are we talking about? So they went to this church. And they said they were amazed. They had the best time of worshiping. And the people just loved on them. You know, there were 9 of them, 9 of these college kids. They were the only white people in the audience, a room about 250 people. And they just loved on them. And they thought, what, you know, when they were walking in, they thought, what in the world am I doing here? What is going on? I'm in over my head. People loved on them. They came back home, and a couple days later, they started getting cards and letters from the people in the congregation. They took their name and addresses. They said, hey, they took them out to lunch. And they said, you know, we had been praying, because we just moved from a house church into this old church. And we had been praying whether God wanted us to be a black congregation or an integrated congregation. And we'd been praying like that weekend, and 9 college students walked in our door. And they said, we know now that God is calling us to be an integrated congregation. Listen, man, when you're in over your head and it's in deep and you don't know, the Spirit of God is begging and waiting. His revelation is waiting to guide you. Let's look at something else the Spirit does. The work of the Spirit produces fruit. The work of the Spirit in the life of the believer produces fruit. In Galatians 5:22, it's on page 826 if you want to jump over there, but Galatians 5:22, it says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, we should look for the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. The movement and the activity of the Spirit. We should ask ourselves, am I at peace? Am I becoming more loving and more kind? Am I growing in goodness and faithfulness? Am I becoming more gentle or self-controlled? You know, there are no laws against fruits of the Spirit. I mean, you don't pick up the paper and read the courthouse section and find that somebody was being prosecuted because they were too loving. Right? It's not happening. People aren't being charged with crimes of being too peaceful. I'm sorry, Mr. Anderson, I had to pull you over. You were too self-controlled. It doesn't make sense, does it? Right? There are no laws governing. There are no laws. Listen, don't miss this. There are no laws governing. There are no laws constraining. There are no laws restricting the fruits of the Spirit. We should look for the evidence of it in our own lives. We should ask a close friend or a spouse, have there been any changes in me? When people are telling me about the gifts or the works of the Spirit in their life, I look first for the fruit of the Spirit in their life. If we have to tell people about the fruit of the Spirit in our life, there's a flag on the field, so to speak. What else does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives us discernment. The Spirit gives us discernment. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." The phrase there, knowledge and depth of insight, it implies a particular knowledge, knowing as if experienced when we actually are not. If we look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7, remember this, it says, "No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time." In Matthew records, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables." Listen there. He says, "Seeing, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." There's two key things I want to draw out there. First of all, God's wisdom has not been kept secret so that you cannot discover it. It is secret so that you will search for it. And the word for understanding referenced in these passages, it means the collecting together of individual features to make the whole. He puts the pieces of our life together. He gives us the ability to discern how the pieces fit together. We've been talking for months about discovering our shape, recognizing where do we have spiritual gifts? Where are our heart, the things we're passionate about? Where do we have abilities that God has given you? Where does God use each of your unique personalities, and some of them are real unique? How does He use those, right? How does He take all of our experiences, even the painful ones, even the messy stuff of our lives, how does He fit it together in the mosaic that is the whole? God gives us that discernment. Walking in the Spirit begins with having the mind of Christ. And the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit makes the inconceivable conceivable and produces fruit in our lives and gives us discernment. I want to look just briefly to say, ask the question then, what stifles the Spirit? What holds the Spirit back? And we can look in Acts chapter 3 and we can know that unconfessed sin restrains or constrains or stifles the Spirit. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Now listen, what? That times of refreshing, it's renewal. The times of refreshing come from the Lord. Secondly, the acts of the sinful nature are also inhibit or stifle the work of the Spirit in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21, we read the opposite side of this, the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruits of the sinful nature. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, elevating anything in our life over God." Continue on, it says, "Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy." Jealousy is an acid in the body of Christ. We can talk about fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Do you notice, when you read the laundry list there, do you notice that there are laws in place in our society to address almost all of these issues? Fruits of the Spirit? No law, no constraint. Work of the flesh? Laws in our societies to constrain, to govern those. Why is that? Because they're self-destructive. They hurt us and they hurt others, and they stifle the Holy Spirit in our lives. We also stifle the Holy Spirit in our lives when we fail to pursue the things of God. Now look quickly to Proverbs chapter 2. Solomon says this, "If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." We fail to pursue God sometimes because we don't want to be religious. I think sometimes we've bought into a compartmentalized view of the world. We tend to look at our religious life. My life at school is this way. My life at home is this way. My life in the workplace is this way, is here. And we tend to look at those things as compartmentalized. It allows us to say, you know, hey, it's not personal, it's business. Oh, you know, I don't mean to hurt you. It's not personal. It's just business. That's oftentimes a cop-out for being rude or cutthroat or a win-at-all-cost mentality, which will not bring you success ultimately. His truth covers all areas of our life. He's concerned about your work. He's concerned about your marriage. He's concerned about your relationship. He's concerned about your schoolwork. There is no separation of life in God's reality. It's all His. All truth. Everything that is true is His. It's His. We don't even get to decide. The only thing you get to decide is whether you believe it. But all truth is His. He's claimed it. And He wants you to resonate with the Spirit of God by having the mind of Christ. Resonation with the mind of Christ. As we conclude this morning, I want to show you something that I heard Beth Moore actually demonstrate. Now, how many of you have ever seen the show MythBusters? Right? Okay. A few more of you were honest than the people in the first service. The MythBusters. You know, they had a great example of this concept of resonance. Of resonance. Now, resonance means to oscillate at the same frequency as the source. Now, oscillate means move, okay? If you picture a sound wave, if it comes across a thing called an oscilloscope, you see the shape or the curve of the sound wave. And sound travels in waves. And what the MythBusters were able to demonstrate, that if a voice is tuned to the frequency of a glass, the glass will actually vibrate, and with enough volume, right, amplitude, it will actually cause the glass to shake and break. Shake and break, yeah. All right? So if you, and I meant to bring a glass, if you ping a glass, ding, and you find out that tune, that frequency, and then you tune your voice to that frequency, and then you sing that note enough times, the glass, you can actually look and see it, and it will shatter. It will shatter. And they were trying to prove the myth of, is it live or is it? Right, okay. So, I didn't bring a glass, and I don't have that good of a voice to do that anyway. But resonance, listen, the concept of resonance, this is kind of what we're talking about here, can also be demonstrated on acoustic string instruments. Okay? It can be demonstrated on acoustic string instruments. Now, let me just step over here. Mac, don't kick it up too loud yet. I don't want to blow everyone out, so to speak. All right? Now, if you play a C on a piano, this is a C. No piano teachers. Okay, if you play a C and you open up the damper pedal or the sustain pedal, what you will hear, what you will hear, if you could listen, if you could amplify this loud enough, you would hear that the rest of the C's are going to vibrate also. They're going to oscillate. Okay, they're going to vibrate. Now get this, don't miss this point. When the instrument is in tune, it will respond, it will resonate to the source. Okay? Now here's something that's really cool. When the instrument is in tune, don't miss that. When the instrument is in tune, when we as believers have the mind of Christ, when the instrument is in tune, okay? Not only will the frequency of the C's resonate and vibrate, but every other note that is in harmony with the source will also vibrate in response to the source. Now, what's interesting about a piano is if you could look up here with me, the piano has a rows of hammers that trigger each note, and it also has these rows of things called felt pads. And what the felt pads do, they lay on the string, and you know what they do? They stifle it, all right? They keep it from vibrating. They keep it from doing what it's designed to do. They stifle the string. Are you with me? This is yes. Okay, good. Now, Susan, are you around here? This is what's really cool. Okay, she's out here. Matt, kick this up a little bit and turn me down.
I'll turn mine off.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Give her, she doesn't really know all this.
I know a lot, I just don't know this.
She doesn't. This is kind of on the cuff, right? Guys, you can't win on that one, all right? Just let me just, that's one where you just smile and nod your head and walk up.
I think it's a great piece.
Yeah. Now, I want you to listen. What I'm going to have her do is I'm going to have her hold the sustain pedal down, and then I'm going to have her sing. We're going to lift the pads, okay? We're going to let the strings, we're going to take away what constrains them, what stifles them. And then, Susan, I'm going to ask you to just sing into the strings, and let's listen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it? That is resonance. That is resonance. When we have the mind of Christ, when we yield to the Spirit by releasing what seeks to stifle the Spirit, we resonate with the Spirit. We know when to turn left. We know when to turn right. The strings were vibrating in harmony, in response to the source. They were answering her. They were answering the voice. I want to ask you today, is there something in your life that is resonating to something other than God? Listen, walking with the Spirit is about seeking the mind of God. It's about identifying those things in our life that seek to stifle us, to hold back. God is calling you. He wants you to resonate to His glory. He wants you to understand how to respond to the source, to respond to His voice. It may be you're here today and your life isn't able to be led by the Spirit because you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to stand in just a minute, and I'm going to ask you to respond as God is calling you. If God is calling you to receive Christ, then you do that. If God is calling you to listen, there's something in your life that you need to let go of because it's holding you back from resonating. If there's something in your life that you need to change or turn from, you need to do that so that your life can respond and move as the Spirit directs, that you might resonate to the voice of God. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Father, for your word that guides us. I thank you for your Spirit that moves us. I pray, Father, that as you search us out, that you raise up to our awareness, God, how to have more of a mind that searches after you, how to allow the Spirit of you in us if we've believed and confessed our obedience and our faith in you, God, how to let that Spirit draw us to you. And I pray, Father, that you give us the courage to respond to you today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.